واشهد ان محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاه حي على الصلاه حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاه قد قامت الصلاه. الله اكبر الله اكبر. لا اله الا الله
لا اله الا الله. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. استغفر الله. إن شاء الله جب المسجد میں مدرسہ قاسم العلوم عشرہ انڈیا کا چندہ ہے. اس مدرسے میں تقریباً 200 طلبہ زیر تعلیم ہیں. بہت زیادہ غریب علاقہ ہے, بہت زیادہ بچے غریب ہیں. لہذا آپ تمام حضرات سے گزارش ہے کہ اس مدرسے کا زکوٰۃ اور صدقے کی رقومات سے بھرپور تعاون فرمائیں. اس مدرسے میں الحمدللہ ہمارے مشتبہ اینر کر جا کے وہاں کے حالات دیکھ کر آئے ہوئے ہیں. بہت ہی غریب علاقہ ہے, اور اگر کسی کو اسپانسر کرنا ہے ایک حافظ بنانے کے, 160 پاؤنڈ ہے جو 3 سال میں حافظ بچہ بن جاتا ہے. اگر کسی کو اسپانسر کرنا ہے کسی بچے کو, تو 160 پاؤنڈ ہے 3 سال, 1 سال کا, تو 3 سال میں حافظ بچہ بن جاتا ہے. لہذا اس میں بھی ضرور تعاون فرمائے. اور یہ چندہ جو ہے تراویح تک چلے گا. لہذا آپ تمام حضرات سے گزارش ہے کہ اس کار خیر میں بھرپور حصہ لیں. جزاکم اللہ تعالیٰ فاصل جزا. اور اسی طرح انشاءاللہ دعا کے بعد مولانا زہران صاحب سورہ کہف کی تفسیر پیش کریں گے. لہذا آپ تمام حضرات سے شرکت کی گزارش ہے. جزاکم اللہ تعالیٰ فاحسن الجزا. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام ربي أضلنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت قدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا اغفر لنا ولآبائنا ولأمهاتنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا عذاب الآخرة اللهم استر عوراتنا وآمن روعاتنا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضاء بالقدر اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من البرص والجذام والجنون ومن سيء الأسقام اللهم عافنا في أبداننا اللهم عافنا في أسماعنا اللهم عافنا في أبصارنا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من البخل والجبن ونعوذ بك من الهرم ونعوذ بك من فتنة القبر ونعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم أعتق رقابنا ورقاب آبائنا وأمهاتنا وأزواجنا من النار اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من عتقاء رمضان اللهم حصل مرادنا اللهم تمم تقصيرنا اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا اللهم اشفنا واشف مرضانا ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين قريب تشريف لي يعني.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه أما بعد. My dear respected brothers and elders in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So inshallah today and the remaining Saturdays of the month of Ramadan, it will be a series, a continuous series inshallah of the tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf. So today will be an introduction And then the following Saturday, we will start touching upon the four stories that are mentioned within the within this surah. Further details, inshallah, will be given during the course of these lectures. So I just want to bring your attention first and foremost, to the introduction of Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf, as we know, is a surah that we all recite, or should recite, every single Friday. This is a late Makki surah. It's a late Makki surah. What does it mean by Makki surah? Any surah that was revealed before the revelation, before the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ from Makkah to Medina, it is classed as a Makki surah. And anything that is revealed after the revelation, after the migration, it is classed as a Madni surah. So this is where the whole differentiation comes in. It doesn't necessarily mean that this surah was revealed in Makkah and this surah was revealed in Medina. It's all to do with the hijrah. When did the hijrah take place? If it took place, if a surah came down before the hijrah, it's classed as Makki. And anything that came down after the hijrah is classed as Madni. Surah Al-Kahf consists of 110 ayat, which is very well-known fact. And like I mentioned earlier, it consists of four stories. And inshallah, the plan is to go through each and every single one of these stories and to derive as many lessons as we possibly can, inshallah, from them. Just before we go in, what is Makki and what is Madni? What is the difference between them? How can we tell the difference between these surahs whilst we are reciting them in the Quran? A Makki surah, if we think of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will see that in the Makkan phase, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Makkah or before the hijrah, the Muslims that were going through persecution, and Rasulullah ﷺ did not have that Islamic state. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would normally send down verses to him that reminded him of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Along with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send down verses of the Day of Judgment and also ayat backing up the fact that the Prophet ﷺ was who he claimed he was. This is majority of the theme of the Makki surahs. Also in the Makki surah, you will notice that the word munafiq is not mentioned, because the word munafiqeen, when Allah addresses or talks about the munafiqeen, this was done later on in Medina, because that is where the hypocrites, they came from. So if the word mushrik or mushrikeen is mentioned in the surah, this is an indication that this is a Makki surah. It was revealed before the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also another good way to recognize this, or easy way to recognize this, is looking at the length of the ayat. So majority of the juz amma, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا, for example, وَالضُحَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى, and ayat like this, and verses like this, and surahs like this, when the verses are very, very short, this is another indication that this is a Makki surah, revealed before the hijrah. Again, why is this the case? Because in the time of the Prophet Muhammad in Makkah, the theme or the thing was poetry. The Makkans used to boast about their poetry. And the Quran came down to challenge that in one way as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down these types of ayah to challenge the poets of Makkah as well. And in Medina, when the Prophet ﷺ, after the hijrah in Medina, you see that the Prophet ﷺ in his seerah, he had an upper hand in Medina. That is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started to send down verses of ahkam, rules, legislations, all these types of verses came down in Medina. This did not come down in Makkah. And also with the theme of the ayat, the length of the ayat, the verses, it is longer than the ones of Makkah, than the ones that were revealed before the hijrah. So for example, the verses of Surah Baqarah, Surah Ali Imran, these are quite long in comparison to those in the last para, in the last juz. So this is just a way to distinguish between the Makki and the Madni surahs. Moving on now to Surah Al-Kahf. Let's first and foremost talk about the virtues of Surah Al-Kahf. And there are many narrations that the Prophet ﷺ has mentioned the numerous amount of virtues in regards to Surah Al-Kahf. I'm just going to mention a few. One of them is obviously the most famous one, and that is whoever memorizes the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him from the fitna of the Dajjal. And inshallah, we will speak about the Dajjal in hopefully more detail as we go along. But as we know, the Dajjal is that kind of an individual, is that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send him down as a test for this ummah. As a matter of fact, not just Rasulullah ﷺ, but every single prophet that came before the Prophet ﷺ warned their nation about the Dajjal. So he is a person who is going to come and he's going to cause a lot of corruption. So inshallah later on during this talk, we will speak a bit more about the Dajjal. Another virtue of Surah Al-Kahf is whoever reads it will be given light between the heaven and the earth, i.e. he will be blessed. And it will save him from the trials of the Qabr. This is another narration of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ in regards to Surah Al-Kahf. Imam Qurtubi, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he's got a very unique narration. And this narration is that anyone who recites the last five verses before going to sleep, and at the same time he intends to wake up at a certain time during the night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable him to do so. When I taught this tafsir to some of my students, one of my students actually went out his way to try it out. And he goes, Musab, it worked. I woke up. He had GCSE exams at that time. He wanted to wake up early. He goes, I tried it and it worked. And obviously, it's not just my student, but then other people, other ulama have also tried this out. And this is something that has worked. I mean, if you want to give it a trial today for those who possibly skip Sehri, for example, find it difficult for waking up for Sehri, or Tahajjud, even outside of Ramadan or during the month of Ramadan, then give this a try. The last five verses of Surah Al-Kahf, it might work, it might not work, Allahu A'lam. I've never tried it. Moving on to the connection between this surah and the Dajjal. So like we said, we're going to speak more about this. What is the connection between this surah and Dajjal? Because throughout the entire surah, the Dajjal is not mentioned even once. So we try to point like, what is the connection between this surah and Dajjal? So the Mufassirun, the scholars of Tafsir, they've come up with this amazing analogy and they looked at the entire surah and they said, if we think about the four stories that have been mentioned in this surah, think about the four stories. The first story is the youngsters and the cave, the people of the cave. The second story is the two brothers and the two gardens. The third story is the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr alayhi salam. And the fourth story is of Dhulqarnain. Because if you think about every single one of these stories, it is somehow linked to the Dajjal. How so? The story of the youngsters and the cave, this is a story about, and inshallah these stories will be elaborated more on in the coming weeks, but this story in brief is about a group of youngsters who left their town. Why? Because they wanted to protect their iman. They wanted to protect their faith and they wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them from the fitna that was brewing within the city. Okay? Moving on, the people of the two brothers and the two gardens. This is a story of, or the moral behind this story is about wealth. It's about wealth. Moving on to the third story, the story of Musa al-Islam and Khidr al-Islam. This story, the background behind it, or the moral behind it, is a story, it's about knowledge. It speaks about knowledge, ilm. And the last story of Dhulqarnain, he was a king. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him power. So again, how does it fit in with the Dajjal? So the ulama say that, think about the story of the people of the cave. What did we say their background was, or the baseline was? Faith, right? When Dajjal comes, he's going to go to every single corner of this world except for Makkah and Medina. In some narrations it says Jerusalem as well, but let's just stick with the obvious ones, Makkah and Medina. He's going to go everywhere. And he's going to go with this announcement that I am almighty. I have knowledge. I have power. And he's going to be tricking people with the power or with the permission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him. And many people will believe in him. Many people will leave Islam and believe in what the Dajjal is saying. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it comes in a narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in a hadith, he says, a man will leave his house with being in the peak of his iman, thinking he'll confront the Dajjal. And he, in the evening, he will basically fall for the Dajjal's trap. So that's the first connection. That the men, these youngsters, they left their city and they went and hid away to protect their iman. And this also goes to show another brief point I'm going to mention is the importance of keeping good company. These youngsters, they kept company of themselves because all these youngsters, they had one thing in common. And that was the fact that they wanted to protect their iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will also highlight this as we go along, inshallah. The next thing, wealth. Yeah, the story of the two brothers and the two gardens. We speak about wealth over here. And Dajjal, again, he will be given this power and this ability to trick people or to entice people with wealth and material possessions. So he will give it to you. He will give you the fruits of this world that if, as much as you desire. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him power of. Number three, Musa and Khidr alayhi salam. Again, we spoke that the baseline for this story is knowledge. And thinking about Dajjal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will give Dajjal knowledge. Dajjal possesses a certain type of knowledge which we don't unfortunately have. And he can trick us to thinking that what we are seeing is believable, is the truth, is reality. I mean, just think about nowadays, what we have in front of us today, right, with all this AI stuff going on. Sometimes we have to question ourselves that, is this video even real? Can it be true? Up to a certain extent, a lot of people, they don't even recognize or they don't even realize that this video is actually, it's actually fake. And they go on to believe this. Now imagine, if AI can do this, imagine what Dajjal can do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him the ability to do this. Now someone might ask, why is Allah giving him all this power? Well, it's simple. His fitna, his trials, his tribulations, it's a test for the people who are alive at the time. Yeah? And Allah will test us. And this is the whole beauty of being a Muslim, that we want Jannah, but we want Jannah without any trials. We want Jannah without any testing. No. If you want Jannah, Allah is going to test you. And He will keep testing you till the moment you pass away. Till the time you pass away. And this is not just for us, Lord. This happened to the best of creation. Rasulullah ﷺ, this happened to him. He was tested from the moment he became, before even he was born. His father had passed away. And his test carried on and carried on throughout his entire life. So much so that even in his final years, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blesses him with a son. Towards the end of his life, He blesses him with a son, Ibrahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also takes Ibrahim radiallahu anhu away from him. It just goes to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests those who He loves. So the Dajjal is one of those tests that will come at a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to happen. And the last one, we mentioned Dhul Qarnayn, the story of Dhul Qarnayn. Dhul Qarnayn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this person a king. And He gave him the power. He gave him certain strengths. He gave him access to certain things. And inshallah, again, we will speak about the story when the story comes. Dajjal, likewise, he will be some kind of a world leader. He will be some kind of a ruler because he will have people following him. Now, what he does with that power will obviously determine the outcome. And obviously, we already know what he's going to do with that power. But Dhul Qarnayn obviously was on the other side of the spectrum where he was a lot more just and more God-fearing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sung his praise in the Holy Quran. So this is the connection between Surah Al-Kahf and the Dajjal. I hope that has been made clear, inshallah. Right, last point. And I'm not going to start the story today, inshallah. I'm not going to start the surah today. Again, this is just a brief introduction to this surah. Now, in the Quran, many ayat have come down. And they have come down for a reason. Because of a particular incident, because of someone asking a certain question, a verse has come down. And these things, they are known as sabab al-nuzul. In the tafsir of the Quran, in the science of the Quran, these things are known as sabab al-nuzul, or in English, the reason for revelation. So what is the sabab al-nuzul for Suratul Kahf? In the time of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, in the time of Makkah, as we said, this was a late Makki surah, right? So the Prophet ﷺ, he's gained a lot of attention now. People in Makkah, they are fighting with him. They are, you know, torturing his companions. They are arguing with him. They are this back and forth constantly going on. And slowly but surely, the number of Muslims is also increasing. So the Quraysh, naturally, they start to get worried. They start to get scared. So we know the history, the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to call him a madman, they used to call him a liar, they used to call him a soothsayer, they used to call him a magician. They call him every name under the sun. But they could not prove that he was not claiming who he was. So the Quraysh, they had this meeting, and they said, what can we do to get more information about what this prophethood theme is about? Because you've got to understand, my dear respected brothers and elders, in Mecca, prophets were never heard of before the Prophet ﷺ. No one had ever heard of a prophet. The last prophet that came before Rasulullah ﷺ was Ismail al Islam, and that was centuries ago. Because if you think about it, Ibrahim a.s. had two sons, Ishaq a.s. and Ismail al Islam. Ismail al Islam came to Mecca, and after that, no prophet came to Mecca. The attention, it shifts to Ishaq a.s. and then he has a son called Yaqub al-Islam, he has a son called Yusuf al-Islam, and from that family, we have an entire group of prophets, and that is what is known as the Bani Israel. So the entire paradigm, it shifts towards the children of Ishaq al-Islam, or the children of Yaqub al-Islam. And that is where all these prophets came from. So in Mecca, this is unheard of. They don't know what prophethood is, they don't know what a Nabi is, they don't know what a Rasul is. So this is why they kept questioning and going back and forth with Rasulullah ﷺ. So the people in Mecca, the Quraysh of Mecca, they said, look, we've got an idea. There are a group of Jews that live in Yathrib. Yathrib that later on went to be known as Medina. He goes, there is a group of people that live in, there's a group of Jews that live in Yathrib. They are familiar with this concept of Nabi and Rasul. Why don't we go and ask them and get some clarity from them? So they sent two men. The first, his name was Al-Nadhr ibn al-Harith, and the second one, his name was Uqba bin Abi Mu'id. So they sent these two men with the mission to find out more about what a prophet or Rasul or a Nabi is. So they come to the Jews or the rabbis of Medina, and they started to ask them the question. They said, look, this is what's happening in Mecca. Can you please inform us more about this? By the way, this has got nothing to do with the Hijrah. No hijrah has taken place yet. Rasulullah ﷺ, at this moment in time, he has no idea he's going to be ending up moving to what will be known as Medina later on. So he's got no idea that this is going to happen. The Quraysh, they send these two men. And these two men, they do an inquiry and they start asking. And the rabbis, they come. They say, look, if he is a prophet, you just have to ask him three questions. If he answers these three questions, then know he is an honest prophet. And if he does not know the answer to these three questions, then know he is a liar. What were the three questions? The question number one was, ask him about the young men who left and what happened to them. Which story are we talking about here? The people of the cave. Then they said, ask him about the person who traveled east and west and what happened to him. Which person are we talking about here? Dhul-Qarnayn. The last story of Surah Al-Kahf. Yeah, ask him about these two groups of people. The third question, ask him about ruh, the soul. And this was a trick question, as a matter of fact. This was a trick question, inshallah, I'll come to it in a bit. So, these two men, they come, they go, okay, we've got something we can now present to the Prophet Muhammad. So they come to the Prophet and they said, okay, these are the three questions, this is your test. Let us know the answer. Tell us about the young men, tell us about the man who ruled from the east to the west, and tell us about the soul. So the Prophet ﷺ, he goes, I'll let you know tomorrow. And that was it. He stayed quiet. I'll let you know tomorrow. Important that we bear this in mind. He said, I will let you know tomorrow, and he stayed quiet. Now come tomorrow, the Quraysh are anticipating some kind of a response, but no response. The Prophet ﷺ receives no revelation. There's two narrations. One says that for 15 days he received no revelation. In another narration, it says that for 3 days he received no revelation. Why do you think that this happened? Why do you think that this was the case, that Rasulullah ﷺ received no revelation for 3 to 15 days? Anyone? Maulana, you have no idea. No. Exactly. He forgot to say inshallah. Because Rasulullah ﷺ forgot to say inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withheld the wahi. And this is one of the, again, this is one of the key lessons from the Sabab al-Nuzul and also from Surah Al-Kahf. Is that whenever you intend to do something tomorrow, say inshallah. Say inshallah. And this is where the Prophet ﷺ, obviously he never said it, but nevertheless after, obviously he was, you know, he was end of the day a human being. He can forget to say things, he can forget to do things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously taught him. He goes, whenever you intend to do something, and this was a lesson not just for the Prophet ﷺ, but a lesson for the entire ummah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that whenever you intend to do something tomorrow, say inshallah, by the will of, but if only if Allah wills. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends down this entire surah. So Surah Al-Kahf is one of those surahs that came down in its entirety. Came down in its entirety. Other surahs, they came down bit by bit. Yeah, whenever the need was necessary, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a verse, 2 verses, 3 verses. But Surah Al-Kahf is one of those verses, one of those surahs that came down in its entirety. And in this, obviously, the question was answered about the young men and the cave, the man who ruled from the east to the west. Whereas, as mentioned, the ruh, the soul, I said this was a trick question. Because even the Jews at that time, they did not know the answer to this question. What is the ruh? What is the soul? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed in regards to the ruh that this is a matter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Men, us, we have very little knowledge on this. And Allah basically, if He wants to withhold the knowledge, He will withhold the knowledge. So in regards to the ruh, we only have a bit of knowledge. And this is exactly what the Jews wanted to hear. He goes, if the Prophet ﷺ started to talk about the ruh, if he started to give a long explanation about the ruh, they would have said, no, hang on a second, this is not what we have in our books. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the correct answer. And inshallah, this is a very brief introduction to Surah Al-Kahf. And inshallah, we will touch upon it more in the coming weeks. So inshallah, next week, we will do two stories, because the story of the men and the cave, that's a pretty long story. But the next story is not that too, it's not too long. And then inshallah, the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr will be done the week after. And then eventually the story of Dhul-Qarnayn will be done in the final weeks. And I think that will be the end of Ramadan. So inshallah, please do turn up. Do bring your families with you as well, inshallah. And we can benefit from this. If anyone has any questions, inshallah, I can quickly answer them. But if you don't, inshallah, obviously this time, still a bit of time, we can also go and recite, do some Quran recitation as well. If anyone has any questions. No question? Khair. Okay, that's fine. No problem, inshallah. JazakAllah khair, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.